Good, good. Are we on? Good. Okay. Awesome. Oh man. I'm fortunate enough that when I wonder if God loves me or not, I just have to remember my wife. And she encouraged me so much up here. Like, I know a haiku is a silly thing, but wow, that was good. That really helped me. The artist in you. Renee Stocks prayed for me beforehand, and I mean, of all people, I would want Renee Stocks. I know how much she prays. Man, what she prayed was, I mean, she prayed a couple things, but she prayed, may his zeal be full of godliness and holiness. And that is just spot on for me. I wanted to start actually today by apologizing. Last time I was up here and did announcements, I had a lot of bitterness and anger, and I think I let that out instead of godliness and holiness about the subject. So I wanted to accept responsibility for that and apologize and say that I was wrong. And so, me being up here for 30 minutes now instead of 10, I'd like to pray and for that not to happen again. just for the Spirit to help me. Lord, here we are, and you're good as always, and you've encouraged me and you've loved me in preparing for this, and you've brought my heart into a unique place that I've not felt before. And here I am, Lord, asking to be faithful and obedient with the gift that you've given me. And as faithful and as obedient as I can be with that gift, it is only worth something if your Spirit is in me, using me in that gift, Lord. And so, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered, here I am. And I just thank you so much, and I just ask for your blessing and your help from here on out, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right. So, this morning I wanted to talk about fear, and Dave mentioned it a little bit last week, and actually a couple people that shared stole two of my verses. So you're going to see them again. Also encouraging at the same time. But I want to talk about fear, and okay, so maybe some of us have a fear of public speaking, okay? Fear of the dark, fear of spiders or roller coasters. I have an irrational fear of getting stuck in the walk-in freezer at my work. I don't know why, I don't want to freeze to death. Those are not fears that we're going to be talking about today. Those are big general fears. We're going to be talking about a fear that seeps its way into our everyday life all the time. And whether we're aware of it or not, it's affecting our decision-making. And what I did was I titled the message, What Are We Missing Out On? Because what this fear does to us is when we come to a place of decision, we choose fear instead of potentially choosing what God has for us, and we miss out on this blessing that he's offered us. And so the passage I want to use for that today is going to be Numbers 13. And Numbers 13 is the story of the 12 spies. You can turn there if you want to. You don't have to. I'm going to have a couple verses up here. It's only going to be a couple. But the 12 spies. Maybe you've heard of the 12 spies. Maybe you haven't. Sunday school, up here when Dave's preaching. But I'm going to give us a little background first as we get there. Give us a little bit of context. We'll move into it, and then I'll get a little bit deeper when we get to that story. Okay. So, Israel, God's chosen people, are in Egypt, okay, for roughly 400 years. They're in Egypt, and they're in slavery under Pharaoh and the Egyptians, okay? And God hears their cries for help, and he comes, and he rescues them. And he does this with Moses. Moses leads them out with God's power. And he brings the 10 plagues on Egypt, and another thing that we're probably very familiar with. And he basically destroys Egypt with these plagues so much so that Egypt is like, please leave, just go. Like then they're just begging the Israelites to go. They give them stuff as they're leaving because they want them to leave so bad. Okay, so here comes Egypt out, or here comes Israel out of Egypt, okay? And not shortly after they leave, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he's like, okay, never mind, and he starts chasing them, okay? So the Israelites are leaving, led by God, and Pharaoh's chasing them, and they get to the Red Sea, another story that we're familiar with. So they get to the Red Sea, and like it's a dead end. They're stuck, okay? And on this side, here comes Pharaoh and the Egyptians and this army and these chariots, and they're stuck. They're basically helpless at this point, just terrified, okay? And they are like, Moses, what do we do? Moses, you know, and God says, fear not, stand still and see. Basically what he's saying is, chill out, I got this, watch me do me real quick, okay? And so they do. They do. And so God parts the Red Sea, Israel walks through, the Egyptians follow, and the Red Sea crashes on the Egyptians, okay? Now, right here, Israel is experiencing a type of fear, okay? This is not the type of fear that we are going to be exploring today, but I'll come back and we're going to make a distinction between the two, okay? So they walk through the Red Sea crashes on the Egyptians, and they're now free, okay? So they're walking through the wilderness now, and after not too long, just a short period, they get to the Promised Land, okay? And the Promised Land is a land that was promised to the Israelites it was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. This is a thing that God's been involved with for a long time. Like, he's promised this for a long time to Israel. And so here they are, and they get here, and this is where the story of the 12 spies comes in. Okay? So they're on the edge of the Promised Land here, and this is Israel. And they pick one man from each tribe. Okay? And so 12 tribes equals 12 men, and that's 12 spies. So they send 12 spies into the land, and they're there for about 40 days, okay? And when the 12 spies come back after the 40 days of checking out the Promised Land, this is what they say, and this is our first scripture, Numbers 13, 27. And this is the New Living Translation. It is indeed a beautiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. And the kind of fruit it produced was so these spies go and they get one cluster of grapes, in the Bible specific, one cluster of grapes, so large, like so big that they had to carry it on a pole between two people, okay? That's how big this was. And these people have been not eating well, you know? They've been bitter waters and manna and, I mean, that probably was very appetizing, okay? And they said it was a land flowing with milk and honey, okay? The imagery here, we see how they came back and they were like, this was awesome. Like, this was an awesome thing. Like, this is going to be so great, okay? Like, God's promise was real, okay? And then, let's see where we're at here. We'll go to the very next verse. So that was verse 27. This is 28. But the people there are powerful, and their towns large and fortified. We even saw giants there. Okay, so here's the Israelites. They send people into the land, right? And we see this like beautiful, awesome, like we're like together, let's call this the promise or the reward or the fruit. Okay, those are the types of words we'll use to describe the Promised Land here. So on this end, we have just excitement, awesome, here we go. On the other hand, now we have the opposition, okay? And the opposition here would be, and could you bring that up for me one more time? The men, the people are powerful, the towns are large and fortified, and they even saw giants, okay? So here we go, we have the promise, the reward, the fruit, and now we have the opposition in the form of giants this time, okay? And so this is where fear comes in, okay? Because we're offered God's promise, but then we find opposition, Okay? And in that opposition, we have a decision to make, and that's where fear can grab us. Okay. So let's see how the Israelites handled this decision and what they chose. Let's go to verse 31. I chopped this one up a little bit. The men who had explored the land, and they had argued about it, said, "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." Okay, so God promised this to them, this awesome land with fantastic grapes and good imagery. God promised this to them, and because of the opposition, because of their fear, they chose, let's not do that. Let's walk away from this, okay? And so again, what are we missing out on being the title of the message? Israel, obviously, here, missing out on... you can take that down. Sorry. obviously, Israel here missing out on the promised land and being forced to walk in the wilderness for 40 years instead. So this decision here that Israel makes between the promised land and the opposition that they have, so the promised opposition and the decision. Over here, when the Israelites were in the Red Sea experience and they were helpless, right? God says, hold up and I'll do this. Now, different than the experience with the promised land fear, because in this fear, God says, I'll take care of it. Just stand still. Just chill. Like, I've got this. Over here, God doesn't say, as much as we'd like him to, he doesn't say, just sit here. I'll go in there and I'll destroy them all. I'll take care of it. I'll teleport them to another country or something. Okay? God doesn't do that. So we have two different types of experiences here. Now, as much as Israel would have loved for God to just take care of it, it's almost, in my opinion, and yeah, I would boldly say, it's almost a more awesome thing that God says, let's do this together. Let's go into the promised land together and do this, okay? And that requires faith, all right? All right. Now, so God, knowing you and I and our tendencies, he recorded this passage to give us a picture of what it looks like when we choose fear, okay? So now, together, we asked ourselves the question, you can take that down, I'm sorry, man. I gave him wrong clues. It's a good verse, though. Together we ask ourselves the question, in what areas of our life have we been offered the fruit, have we been offered the promise or the reward, and we've chosen the opposite, we've been fearful of the opposition instead, so we've chosen fear, and what are we missing out on now? So that's the question we ask ourselves from this passage. And allow me to be bold enough to say that all of us have chosen fear in some part of our life, okay? And this could be a daily thing for a lot of us. And because we're choosing that fear, we're missing out on the abundant life in Christ. Okay, so I'll give you an example from my own life. Not too long ago, a very prominent lady in my hometown passed away. And she wasn't a believer, unfortunately, and she knew she was passing away. She had cancer. So she set up her own funeral. And the funeral, actually, it wasn't really a funeral. It was more of like a get-together at our high school in Whitmore Lake. And we have like a really nice long hallway. It's really big, nice ceilings. And there was like chocolate and popcorn. And it was nothing serious. There was like one or two toasts, and that was it. But basically, she just wanted everyone in the community to get together and just kind of reminisce, talk, and like have fun. Nothing serious, right? Okay. So I'm invited to this, and this is Sam and I's hometown. Lots of people that we know, tons of people that we know. And so the problem was, well, first, let's explore that a little bit. So first, now I have an opportunity. So here's a promised land opportunity for me, right? So I have the ability here to now show Christ to a lot of grieving people, okay? I have the opportunity to evangelize to a lot of like old friends that I've had, okay? Or maybe rekindle some relationships, you know, that God maybe wants to use, okay? So here's the promised land for me, the reward, the prize for me, okay? But with that is opposition, okay? So let me talk about the opposition. So unfortunately, if you know me well enough, and the people in my hometown know me well enough to remember me as a drug dealer, and I dealt drugs to high school students and kids right out of high school, and I was a very selfish and arrogant person, and I made a lot of bad decisions, and I have some drama with some families in this community that I haven't really settled yet, okay? So that's a depressing side of the stage. Stand here for a second. Over here, it's exciting, it's awesome, right? And this is where Sam is, okay? And Sam's like, look, we could go, this is going to be awesome, I'm so excited, we're going to do this together, and God's got this, and what a cool opportunity. And I'm like, I'm over here, I'm like, oh, no, please, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. Like, I'm seriously terrified of all these people and what they think about me. And that's not enough time for me to show them how much I've changed. And there's not enough time for me to explain everything and fix everything. And okay, excuse, all right? Anyway, so I'm feeling a lot of judgment. I'm feeling ashamed. I'm feeling condemned. Okay, so now we have the prize, the reward, the fruit, and the opposition. Okay, and this is fear, all right? And I unfortunately chose fear this time. Okay, and that's why God opened my mind to this topic. So let's look at that verse, Psalm 118. So I chose fear instead of this. Now think about this with that story that I just shared with you. So yes, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Okay? Imagine if I would have, like, believed this and chose faith in this verse instead of wallowing in this opposition that I was fearful of, okay? And go ahead and bring up that next one as well. This one's super good, too. So this one is, "For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and say to you, don't be afraid, I am here to help you," okay? These are for us. All right, this is for us. This is for us when we're sitting here on the edge of the promised land and we're like, looks really great, but I'm going to go this way, okay? This is for us. God's like, give me your hand. Give me your hand. I'm going to walk with you. And if it looks like this, okay. But then he doesn't want to do that. He wants to walk confidently with me, okay? Imagine if I would have went to this funeral and took his hand and walked in confidently with him. What could have happened? Oh, I get so frustrated about it. Like I said, rekindled relationships. Could have made more connections in the community in my hometown. Could have sowed seeds of the gospel into the family's grief. Like, so many opportunities that I missed out on because I chose fear instead of choosing faith and walking into this reward, this promised land that God was offering me, okay? Now, my God is a gracious God, and so is your God. And because of Christ, my punishment has already been paid for, and I can confidently know his mercies are new for me every morning, okay? So don't hear me say, I messed up too much, it's over, because I'm free to try again next time. Every time. You can take that one down now. And not that one yet. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Now, what are you missing out on? All right, and I'll give you a few examples. Maybe you have a close friend, okay? Maybe you have a close friend and you love them and you're pursuing them, and you're not necessarily feeling that back, okay? Not feeling that pursual of you. Maybe they're not asking questions and they like to talk a lot. Fear here is potentially not asking them that question, okay? So, or not bringing that up to them. So the promised land here in your relationship with that friend is just a blossoming, like, love for each other, where you pursue each other and experience Christ together and feel that mutual love, okay? This is a promised land that God has for us and wants for us in every relationship. Now, the opposition here is, oh man, my friend is going to be really upset, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, and, you know, I don't want to overstep, and, okay, I know this one's a little bit more touchy, I can feel it, I'm sorry, but it's real, okay, this is, and so now you have a decision to make, and you say, okay, am I going to trust God here? I'm going to move forward and talk to this person and say, hey man, I love you, let's talk about this, maybe you could pursue me a little bit more. Maybe you could ask me questions, okay? And what? Maybe that turns into something awesome, okay? But too much, we are too scared of that, and we choose fear, and we walk away. Okay, that was the toughest one. I'll be easy on the next two. Maybe you're afraid to give financially, okay? Because you can't trust God. So that would be, and there's blessing for giving. And maybe it's not going to be here, but it's definitely going to be there when we get to heaven, okay? So maybe you're afraid to give financially, and you have all these reasons, and, you know, we can talk about the opposition about why you don't want to give financially, but you have a decision to make. Am I going to trust God and move in faith and walk forward with that? Or am I going to be afraid and choose opposition and walk in fear? Okay. I think I've accurately explained it. And if I haven't, I'm sorry, Jesus. Okay, so we have a couple minutes, and I would like to hear from you about, okay, and we're talking about more subtle things. You know, it could be something huge, you know, but where are we in our lives choosing fear, potentially? And Dave said to stand here until someone raises their hand. So I'll stand here. it can be personal, or you can, you know, call someone else out, or it's up to you. Yeah.
But I always, I shouldn't say always, but more times than not, I'm choosing fear, too afraid to bring up the hard conversation, especially with my mom, because she gets so bitter and, like, claws up when I bring up this topic. So I know that there are some amazing, what could potentially come out of those conversations could be awesome. And I know that God can work in her without me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Encouraging, really scary, but I am choosing fear in the aspect of my conversations, and there's self-doubt, because I'm afraid I won't have the words to say to them.
And that's something that you can trust God for, though. Like, that's something that we know God is about, is saving souls. Like, we know that. So we can definitely confidently know, you know, that fear does not have the right place here. That was really good, thank you. I'm going to go for like three. Thank you.
I did it my own family planning. I always felt regret that I had two children, and after my daughter was born, within 2 weeks I got a vasectomy. Because I thought I was getting too old to have more kids. I thought I wouldn't have enough money to support a bigger family. Well, Look at these beautiful children that I had for you, that you had enough love for them, you had enough time for them, you had enough money for them, and I would have strengthened you to help you.
Yeah. That's big, and that relates exactly to the story of the 12 spies, because these people who chose fear here, they missed out on the promised land entirely. They were forced to walk the wilderness until they died. So like you know, yours is a more permanent, what am I missing out on? And that's serious. That's what we need to be getting from this as well. This isn't just. And I did highlight God's grace and mercy, and I always will, because He always gives us second chances. And like He said, God, He's going to get to heaven, and God's going to say, "Man, I'm so proud of you for what you did with what you had," you know. And so there's one aspect of God of grace and mercy and love. But on the other hand, like you said, the seriousness of, "Man, I missed out on something," you know, that could have been really great, and so yeah, that's more of a sad thing, and I'm sorry, but also thank you for sharing that as well. I'm gonna do one more. Sure, yeah.
but I realized that not taking the Sabbath, that God said, "This is for you, I give you, like you'll be all right if you do this," to not do that, to not take, a day and just off and work and what you give to God for your own restoration. That's like a faith issue, that's a trust issue.
Yeah.
You're saying, "No, God, I do work all the, every day."
Yeah. Yeah, the promised land of rest, okay, of rest, and the fruit of rest, right? The fruit of the rest of your week because of that rest that you took. And the opposition of, "No, I don't have enough time, I can't do it, I need to study all the time, or I need to do work all the time." Perfect. Okay. So, my point would be that let's be open that perhaps fear is causing us to miss out on more than we realize. And that's what I would hope for us to be thinking about, is, okay, where am I choosing fear instead of faith? And so I'll read this very last one. And this is awesome, because this is 40 years after So they're at the promised land, and then they walk around the wilderness for 40 years, and they come back to the promised land, and this time God commands them, and He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And that's for us. Jesus says the same thing to us in the New Testament, and that's something that we can remember. So as we're thinking about and wrestling with these fears, remember, He wants to hold your hand and walk you through it. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Hey, God, first off, I'm sorry for choosing fear, and I'm sorry that we all choose fear instead of choosing you, and that probably hurts you, Lord. And I pray that I accurately portrayed the consequences of choosing fear and also the glorious fruit and awesome opportunity of choosing faith. And so I pray that you would help us to recognize when we have a decision to make, and encourage us and minister to us in those decisions, Lord. I thank you so much in your name. Amen.